If you weren't here last week, I just want to recap a bit so that you don't walk in here and like, oh, especially if you are visiting, what is this church all about? And then you get like a show. So I just want to backtrack a bit and just sort of refresh our minds of what I shared last week, because I know it's a long week. And there's a lot of things happening in a week. So when you come here the next Sunday, I sometimes forget about what happened. What clothes did I wear yesterday? So if you see me wear the same clothes like a lot, then it's just I forgot about what I was wearing yesterday. So let's go to part one. So I touched on holiness, and what I mentioned is the reason I'm speaking about holiness is because of sort of where I am in my life, and our family is sort of focusing on holiness. And how can we pursue holiness with the Lord? Because holiness ultimately is a beautiful thing. I think we grow up thinking holiness is, when someone says holiness, you like almost want to get like something in your throat, you know, because we sort of grew up with holiness being something that's not attainable. You know, it's not attainable. And God actually wants us to be holy because he's a holy God. So he says in his word, be holy as I'm holy. And I don't have the slide on there because I had some issues with my slides this morning. So I'm going to read for us what I spoke about last week, just some intro and for those of you who aren't here. So true holiness is not legalism, but a response to God's work in us, partnering with God's Spirit. It is important to understand that holiness is not about rule keeping. So it's not about making this laws and the rules, and this is what I have to sort of live by, this is what I have to attain to become holy. Holiness is falling in love with God, falling in love with Jesus. So the more you love God, the more you pursue God, holiness is the outflow of your love for God, right? Then third, our pursuit of holiness should be motivated by, like I said, our love for God. It's not something we work out, it's not like a fearful thing, you know. It's actually like when they sang the song this morning, Lord, you're beautiful, I thought like holiness is actually something that is beautiful, right? Also touched on living free from sin is meant to be our normal. Like Jesus didn't just die so that we can one day go to heaven. He did die so that we can go to heaven, but he died so that we don't have to sin anymore, so that we can ultimately say no to sin. And then I shared on, we have the power and permission to say no to willful sin. And I used Ephesians 1 verse 18 to 19, speaking about the power of God, the incomparable power that God has given us, his children. And then I said, Jesus died so we can say no to sin and live godly lives. And then lastly, we have everything to live victoriously before the Lord. So this week, I sort of want to touch on that, and I want to conclude the two-part series on holiness. So I want to start with John 16, verse 33, if you have your Bibles here this morning, or your iPhones, your laptops, whatever you have. So John 16, 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So the God that we serve has made us to overcome, right? Who agrees with me? Just say to your partner, I can overcome. Okay. So as God's children, overcoming becomes normal for us. It's not something that is a second-hand thing. It's second nature for us as God's children to overcome. The reason Jesus was beaten and bruised and crucified is for us to ask the question, can I be free? It's like a given. Jesus died so that ultimately we can live in freedom. And that's what holiness for me, the season is like, I can be free from myself. I can be free from you guys. So whatever you say to me, it's not going to affect me because I'm free from you, and whatever I say to you, in a sense, you know, won't matter because we are free from each other. Does that make sense? So Jesus gave us freedom, right? And I think sometimes, or in today's life also, like opinions is like a big thing. Like we are so driven with opinions and what people say, but ultimately Jesus died so that I can be free from my sin, which is I can be free from me, but also I can be free from other people. You know, we're so driven with people's opinions these days. And like I mentioned last week, like opinion is like a river that's flowing, and like we are just like opinionated. And this last season, I just didn't give my opinion on some things because there's stuff I don't know a lot about. So I have a fear of the Lord. Instead of giving an opinion, I just sometimes don't give an opinion because I just don't know anything about that certain area, right? So the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. In Hebrews 12:24, speaks about this blood of Jesus that speaks a better word. It says, "You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel." We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. This scripture says it so beautifully. It speaks about the blood of Abel cried justice, but the blood of Jesus Christ, mercy. The blood of Abel said, "You are guilty," and the blood of Jesus says, "I know, and I took it, and I will die for them." So it's important that, and this morning in worship also felt like there's something happening within all of us. Like God is busy moving us to a place of holiness, ultimately meaning we're gonna look more like Jesus. I really felt it this morning in my spirit that is an atmosphere where God is saying, "I'm going to move you to more closer to me, and ultimately you will start to look like me, and you will move in holiness. The way you think, the way you talk, there won't be a double-sidedness, if I can say it this way. Whatever you say to someone in church, you'll be able to say it to them at work or in the shopping mall or wherever you are today or tomorrow." And it's important that we understand that when it comes to holiness, it's not the way of man, but it's the ways of God ultimately. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. The reason we're in church this morning, I love seeing you guys, and it's awesome to come to church to see you guys, but ultimately we're here to serve the Lord and to serve one another. And we serve out of that place of, "I'm before the Lord, and I'm here because I love the Lord, but I also love you guys, and I want to serve you guys." So when it comes to holiness, there's four areas that we can grow. There's probably more, but this is the four areas that I thought about where we can grow in our holiness. So if you want to say, "I want to be holy before the Lord," I feel for me, this is the areas that I have been meditating on. This is the areas that I'm still meditating on. This is the areas I'm still struggling to be holy. Holiness is a process. It's not something that you just wake up and like, "Oh, I'm holy today." You know, I'm holy for the rest of my life. You know, like Stephen said, you wake up tomorrow morning and you're like, "Oh, you know, it's Monday morning again. You know, why is it Monday morning?" It's funny. I wouldn't say I'm not a morning person, but I wouldn't say I am a morning person. I'm a bit slow in the mornings. So if you call me at like 7, okay, I do wake up early to like spend time with the Lord, to work out, whatever. Sometimes I do both of those things and I jump back in bed and then I wake up with Nandi as well. So I'm a bit slow in the mornings. And this morning, Nandi woke me up early to say, "I need to start waking up, otherwise I'll still be asleep and I have to preach." So she woke me like an hour up before the time so that I can actually be awake. So if I'm not awake, then you have to tell her to wake me up 2 hours before the time. Maybe that will work. But every morning I remind myself, like, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because I'm not a morning person. I'm struggling in the mornings. I'm slow. But I have to tell myself in the mornings, like, this is the day that the Lord has made. And sometimes I just listen to a song to wake me up. But I want to touch on these four areas, and this is like the main point of the whole holiness sort of series or season I'm in. And I want to touch on this, and I want to focus on these four points, because I do believe it's who we are. It's our mind, it's our body, it's our soul, it's our emotions, it's our physical body, it's our intellect. It's literally what you see here is this needs to become holy, right? And over the last while, I also realized there's an overemphasis on like physical sin, right? So sin like drinking, smoking, sexual sin. Like there's a big thing about it, but I realized in this last while, like there's an underemphasis on the sin of our hearts. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Like the sin of the flesh is in front of the sin of our hearts. So the sin of our hearts hides behind the sin of our flesh. That's what I realized in my heart this last while. Like there's stuff that I need to sort out in my heart as well. And that's the beautiful thing for me about holiness. And that's why I'm really passionate to actually pursue holiness, because holiness is ultimately beautiful. And it's not just the sin of the flesh, but it's the sin of our hearts that has really, really convicted me. And I want to invite you in on this journey. There's things in your heart that you need to sort out with the Lord. If there's things in your heart that needs to become holy, I want to invite you, because it's really beautiful when you realize I can be free from these things. So the first time I got free from sexual sin, drunkenness, smoking, club fights, bar fights, but I never fought. I was just the guy that started the fight, and then I would just move away. So I was probably an instigator. That's what you call it. So the first time I got free from those things, like it was kind of easy. And I know it's not always easy for every single person, because our journeys do look different. But for me, it was kind of easy to have freedom in those type of things. So when I got free from those things, I'm like, yo, that was easy, God. What is next? You know, like, what do you want to work on next? Because that stuff is easy. But then comes the sin of the heart. And I'm like, where did this come from? I thought I'm free from all the physical sin, but the sins of the heart is the sin that hides behind the sin of the flesh. Like, God wants to deal with the heart stuff, right? He wants to deal with the physical stuff, yes, but he also wants to deal with the sin of our hearts. You guys are quiet. Does it make sense? Okay. So there's four areas that we can grow in our holiness with the Lord. The first one is the sanctification of the way that we think, or our thinking patterns, our intellect, because your intellect is the faculty of your thoughts, where you make decisions. It is what keeps you awake at night. And God wants to sanctify our way of thinking. He wants to sanctify our thinking. Okay. He wants to sanctify our thinking. So by putting on the new nature and renewing our minds, we can grow in holiness, and we can align our thoughts, our thinking patterns, with the way that God thinks. You know, God wants to put on the new nature. In Colossians 3 verse 10, it says, "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of our Creator." So God is calling us to be sanctified through our way of thinking. Philippians 1:9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment," right? That your what needs to abound? Your love, right? Holiness is pure love. And then he says to the church in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world," right? "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It's a daily thing. It's a renewing of our minds, "that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So there's a holy making, and the process of growing in this holiness is to grow in your love. ultimately. Holiness is not trying not to sin. Holiness is falling more in love with God. So it's important that we understand that when God speaks about making us holy, He wants to make us holy in our minds. And as He makes us holy in our minds, I just want to mention as well that if you are in the room, in this room, you are a Christian leader. So it doesn't matter if you, I'm not saying you're a church leader, I'm saying you're a Christian leader. So if you are in the world, you're at work, whatever you do, you're ultimately leading in some sort of capacity. If you are sweeping the toilets, I know you are leading. You know? So God is calling us to live a life of holiness at our workplaces, at home, whatever capacity we are. And it's important that whatever we speak needs to manifest in our lives. I'm so convicted that, you know, I can speak about holiness until I turn blue, but if my life doesn't show holiness, you know, what's the point of speaking about it? And I'm so aware that, especially with like teenagers, don't know what you call the, so what is it? Where's Dion? The Gen Z or whatever, the Gen Y, the Gen Alpha. Like, I think the generation now, if you say something and you don't do it, or if you say you believe in something and they can't see it in life, like, they don't want it. I noticed this last period at work as well with the young people coming up. Like, if you can't actually hook what you are talking, they don't want it. Like, they want to actually see that person speaks about holiness and is living holiness, and that's what I want. So our lives actually needs to speak louder than our mouths, right? Otherwise, it's just another hamster wheel that we're saying, just go on the hamster wheel, you know what I mean? And they're sort of saying, if there's proof in the pudding, I'll eat it. If there's no proof, I'm not going to eat it. Second, God wants to sanctify our emotions. This is a interesting one. And I want to start off with reading Galatians 5 verse 22 that says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, yes, there's something about emotions that I've realized this last couple of months is that you can actually speak to your emotions. You can say, David did it. He says, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Your soul is your world, your mind, and your emotions. Like when you wake up and it's Monday morning, you're thinking, it's Monday morning and I have to go to work. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It's Monday morning. It's a new day for the Lord. I'm learning this lately where I'm like, I'm going to speak to this emotion and it's going to listen to me. We are called to be sanctified in our emotions. Our emotions are a wonderful slave, but a terrible master. Meaning, you either control your emotion or it ultimately controls you. What is important when it comes to our emotions is we need to focus on the fruit of the Spirit. We all want the fruit of love, of joy, of peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And it's the fruit that is inhibited by God. Today you said yes to Jesus, God said, there you go. That's the fruits that you will bear. Gifts are given, but fruits are ultimately grown. I don't know if anyone here loves gardening, but have you ever tried to grow something in the garden that doesn't want to grow? It's kind of hard. I find it easy to start things to grow, but I struggle with keeping it alive. So I used to do this one like chili garden, and the stuff grew and it was beautiful and we ate of it. And then you just stop giving it the water and it just suddenly just dies. So the gifts that you get has nothing to do with you. The fruit that you have, that you get from God, has everything to do with you. And it's difficult because it takes pruning, it takes watering so that it doesn't die. Sometimes it takes praying and fasting. It's the stuff of our hearts that needs intervention, and it needs to grow. If you want to grow in your joy, you're not just going to wake up and say, I'm going to have joy to do. It's something that you consistently have to do. You need to tell yourself, be joyful. You know, if something is difficult at work, and I faced a lot of things at work, and I can tell you about it. It's like a Netflix movie. It's actually quite fun. So I should send it to Netflix. We'll probably make money. But I had to consistently tell myself, like, this is the way you should act. And that is how I came to holiness, because I asked the Lord, what should my conduct be, you know? And I clearly heard the Lord telling me, be holy as I am holy. And the fruits of the Spirit is meant to be normal for us. You know, it's meant to be normal to have love, spirit of love. It's meant to be normal to have a spirit of joy. It's meant to be normal to have patience. Now, if you don't, if you're struggling with one of the fruits, it's easy. Just ask God, Lord, give me more joy. You know, grow the fruit of joy in my life. Maybe you need some long suffering. Who wants to ask the Lord for long suffering? So when we ask the Lord for patience, you know, I believe sometimes God does you know, send 50 taxis to drive in front of us when we do want to go in our patience. But sometimes I also think it's so contradicting if you say, God, I want to grow in my patience, and we have a thinking of, okay, don't ask God for that because God's gonna test you. You know, who thinks about it? So it's almost like we're setting ourselves up for failure. And I'm noticing this last while that I can actually ask God for patience because it's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes naturally. It's who we are, it's who we're meant to be. It's not something we're saying, God, give me joy. What is going to happen if you ask God for joy? And our thinking is we're going to go through difficult stuff because we need to sort of learn joys. But the fruits of the Spirit is meant to be like natural. It's meant to be normal for us to have the spirit of love, to have the spirit of joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Any place where we don't find that, it's actually abnormal. It's actually not who we're supposed to be, because it's the fruit of what has been given to us. But it's our job to grow in this fruit. So in our company, like, we do a lot of studies on like medicine, and I like studies a lot. So sometimes if you go and look at my Google history, you'll find it very interesting, because I like Google studies on like a lot of things. So I Googled a study on scientific studies on how to be happy if you're not happy. Okay, so I want to share it with you. So studies say if you are not happy and you want to be happy, all you need to do is you need to smile. Okay, and they say if you smile for more than 30 seconds, then you will actually feel a lot better. So I want to test it. So I want you to, with me, smile for 30 seconds. So you might not be happy now, but let's test it. Okay. So I'm going to start my stopwatch. Okay, so let's smile. Smile to your partner. It's going to feel weird, but just smile. Lola, just smile. Almost there. Okay, so who feels better? So, if pulling your face can literally make you feel better, how much more can the spirit of joy do in our lives? When you tell your spirit to be joyful, right? If pulling your, scientifically, your face muscles has an effect on your brain, and that's why you like feel happy. But if pulling your face muscles can make you a little more happy, how much more can the Spirit of God do in our lives? When we say, I'm hammering on joy for some reason, but you need to be joyful, okay? If you tell yourself, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will be joyful, right? Then thirdly, the sanctification of our will. Sanctification has an effect on our will. As we grow in holiness, ultimately our will should submit to the will of God, so that we can say, Lord, your will be done, your kingdom come. I know it's difficult, Lord, but your will be done, your kingdom come. Who in this last like few months had an opportunity to actually not sin? You know, you wanted to make a decision and you went against the decision and you're like, oh, you know, it makes you feel happy to actually say no to willful sin, right? It's almost like you want to throw a dance party and invite your friends, you know, I just said no to the city, right? And it could be anything. It could be engaging in some sort of conversation. It could be not complaining about ESCOM. It could be not complaining about whatever it could be. Now, those things are just as important as like not saying no to porn or saying no to drunkenness. Because ultimately, you are saying no because you want to become more like Jesus, right? And I feel we need to stop making the priority of holiness the physical sin. It is sin, but I mean, we need to start thinking about the internal things, especially if you're long in church. Like, I have to honestly say, sometimes it's very easy to not physically sin, but the sin of the heart is what God is after, because God wants to sanctify our whole being, sanctify our will, our emotions, our physical sin, our internal world sin, whatever it is that's stopping us from being holy before the Lord. Otherwise, we will be free from physical sin, but you know, you'll forever live in self-hatred or a lack of self-confidence when God calls you to do amazing things. And then the fourth one is the sanctification of our physical bodies. So what I mean by this is, as we grow in holiness, our bodies will crave goodness. Your body will crave mercy. Your body will crave godliness. And it's almost like you're sitting at work and you're like, oh, I need to spend time with the Lord. Like, your body physically wants to spend time with the Lord because your body is being made holy, which is sanctification, the process of being made holy. The one thing I also noticed this last while and sort of what stopped me from actually fully pursuing holiness is my focus was on abstaining. Okay, so what I mean by that is I was focused on, okay, don't do this, don't do that, stay in the lane. But instead, my focus should be to desire, you know? Like, we grow up with, you need to abstain. Imagine if you lead someone to the Lord and you tell them, Almi, you need to stay away from this, that, and the list goes on. Like, it will be so difficult for Almi to actually walk on the straight and narrow because she will be so focused on abstaining, whereas if I tell her, desire this, desire goodness, desire, this is what the Lord has for us, you know? So our focus should be on desiring the things rather than focusing on abstaining from things. So we've been putting an emphasis on what we need to miss instead of where we are going. It's almost like if you drive in your car and you think you're moving forward, but you're looking in the mirror and you're not looking through the window. So ultimately you are just looking backwards. And that is what holiness is. It's not abstaining, it's desiring. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we are in the process of growing in holiness, your flesh will crave God. It's almost like when your flesh craves a burger, you know. Could be 12 o'clock at night, like you need to get the burger now because that's what you are listening for. Sounds weird. but you're actually not craving the burger, you just crave the chemicals and stuff that's inside of it. If you didn't know that. So we need to realize that growing in holiness, your body will crave quiet times for the Lord. So I want to be at a place where my physical body is saying, like, you need to go spend time with the Lord. Your body is craving to go and physically spend time with the Lord. And it's essential for us to shift our minds from abstaining to desire. And one thing I'm like really focused on as well is to not too much focus on the things I'm saved out of, but to focus on the things that I'm saved into, because that is most important. We need to know what we are saved into. The reason I'm saying this is I'm going to share a scripture with you in Psalm 16, verse 11, that says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So I got this picture yesterday of us sitting at God's table. And this verse is like beautiful for me because it sort of sums up that imagine yourself sitting at God's table and it says at his right hand is pleasures forevermore. You're sitting at the table with God and there's a unending feast. Like you can have as much of God as you want at the table. And picture us sitting with God and you don't have any lack. This picture really changed my mind yesterday, whereas like we're not lacking anything. If there's something that we lack, we need to bring that before the Lord, because that's most probably an area that God wants to make us holy, right? So I want to spend time this morning and to really just speak about holiness with one another. I want us to pray together as well, and you can go with someone you're comfortable with, or if you don't know anyone, you can go with them as well. But I want us to be real this morning with one another. But I want to conclude also with saying this about holiness is pure love. Holiness is not about striving like in our own strength. You need to understand, like, this is the most important for me, is it's not out of your own strength. It's about embracing the transformation work that God wants to do in us. Like I said, holiness is not about us doing, it's about us being. It's about what's already done. So holiness is legalism says do, holiness is done, right? We need to allow his love and grace to mold us into the image and empower us to overcome. Overcoming is normal. Okay, if there's something that is clear, is that overcoming is normal. Jesus died on the cross for us to overcome. There's no two ways about that. Pursue to live sanctified in every area of our lives. Embrace sanctification in our intellect, our way of thinking, our emotions, our will, and our physical body. Seek to align our thoughts, emotions, choices, and actions with God's perfect will. Shift from abstinence to desire. Okay? Recognize that holiness is not about what we are saved out of, but what we are saved into. And embrace the abundant life, the purpose, the joy found in being transformed in the image of God. Then lastly, if there's anything that I want you to take away from today, is holiness is a journey of falling in love with God and becoming like his son, Jesus Christ. So can we stand?